Hi, and welcome to Is This Thing On podcast number 61. Now, it's been a bit of a funny week this week. I've been putting lots of websites up, and I've been really, really busy, and it's Saturday, and I'm really busy today as well. What I've decided to do is I've decided to put on two interviews that I've done this week. One was with Jenny Walker, which will be the second interview I do. I did an interview with her about four hours ago. And she needs that interview to go up today because there's a competition thing that I want you to vote for her on. So that needed to go up. And also, earlier on this week, on Thursday, Martin Lawrence from Broken Links came along and with Paul Lane from Unplug the Jukebox and did an interview then. So I think what I'll do is I'll play some music as well, obviously, a little bit. Some of Broken Links music, Mark's music. We've got two songs in there. And I'll play Jenny's music and that'll... The music's run out here. And that'll be it for this week because I'm just so busy. I haven't got time to go through and do all the normal things I normally do. But next week, the 18th, I will be putting together the Christmas podcast, which will be a bit of a bumper one. I've got people making things for me, or they said they're going to make things for me. You never know. People say, oh, yeah, I'll do it for you. But yes, should have something from Watch Your Mothers next week. I've been in contact with both of them this week. So should be something from them. We should have I'm hoping to have people in the studio to come in and do play some music. If not, it'll be me and Paul. We'll be sitting here spinning some tunes. I'll play some bits and pieces. I might play a bit of sitar, you know. I just thought about that. I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen. So anyway, what I'll play you now is the interview we did with Mark Lawrence from Broken Links. Lovely chap, comes from Eastleigh, lives in Eastleigh, same place as me. And this is what happened earlier in the week. Now, I'm afraid the sound quality is not fantastic again. I should really get it together. But like I said, this week, the last week, I've been really busy building websites. And I'll tell you all about that probably after Christmas, because I'm working on them at the moment. And it's all, you know, copy paste, putting things up, making things look nice. So it's my website, nicksound.co.uk website. There's a new podcast website that's there. I'm not telling anybody about it yet because I don't want you to go there yet because it's not completely finished yet. But I'm quite excited about that. There's a one for Pure Acoustica as well, and my blog and all the other bits and pieces. So there's lots of stuff coming because I'm working on it at the moment, which is why I can't do a more musical based podcast. But Mark Lawrence, lovely guy. We had a real time with him, and I'll tell you a little bit more about what is coming up in the future from Mark after this podcast. Anyway, let's just crack on with that. This was earlier in this week. So Paul, it's that time of the week again.
Yes, it is, Nick.
But it's something a bit different.
Yeah, it is. We've got a very special guest with us.
We have
Mark Lawrence of Broken Links.
Good evening, guys.
Thank you.
Good evening.
And the audience.
They're in there. Hello.
They're in that microphone there. Yeah.
That's why Nick's got a bigger microphone to fit his expanding audience.
Actually, the microphone's the same as I've had for ages. Actually.
Is it?
It's the stand itself that was a new thing. Well.
The audience is right.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
So that's creative for you.
So how are you, mate? You good?
Yeah, not bad. We're recording at the moment, writing loads of new stuff.
Excellent.
Having a break doing that.
Yeah. It's been a busy year.
Yeah, it has been. Yeah. Got out to Europe for the first time. Going back this year for a lot more.
Yeah.
And hopefully an album this year after an EP launch last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was, I've got to say, one of the best things I had all year.
Was it?
A fine line between choice and decay.
Well, I heard you had a pretty killer roast beef at one point last year, which was a bit better.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So you talk about Germany. So how did that happen? How did Germany happen? How did you get out there?
Literally gigging the railway one night. A fellow musician who we gig with quite a lot suggested that it's the place to go, and our music would fit in quite well out there. So he gave me the incentive to get on the internet, gather up a load of emails, and just fire them off.
Two venues in Germany?
Yeah, just a load of venues and whatnot, and probably spent a couple of hours a night solid for about 3 weeks just emailing out, requesting for a gig, giving them a certain few dates and whatnot, and out of about 700 emails, we got 5 replies.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, we did 5 gigs.
Yeah.
And basically, it was just like a great way to get out there, you know, have the experience. And luckily, we met quite a few people out there who helped us, were willing to help us out in that. And it turned out to be good friends.
Because you know, alternative rock, it's quite big out there, isn't it? Bands like Placebo and stuff, they're quite big.
Yeah, all the Depeche Mode side of things as well. They've got the sort of darker edge over there as well. They get it a bit more than they do in the UK, you know.
We're surrounded by X Factor and all that bullshit.
Yeah,
I
mean,
I love it. We don't at all. Should we play a track from the EP?
Well, just play it straight, not have it running underneath.
No, I want to play.
You
want to
play an actual track? An actual track. Bloody hell!
Two tracks.
Well,
I think the EP was fucking amazing, even better than the roast beef that I had.
Really?
At a particular time. I don't remember the date.
But do you want to have one track and then we'll talk some more, or do you want to have two tracks in a row?
We'll have a track and then we'll talk some more.
All right.
Anyone would think we're making this up.
You would do, wouldn't you? What track do you want to hear first?
I would like to hear one of the best songs I've heard in a long, long time. What are you waiting for?
Mark, can you tell us about the track?
It's basically a 4-minute pop piece.
Ooh.
You know, standard structure.
I say.
Very lovely end of the world lyrics. I shan't divulge into them too much, you know, because everyone needs to have happiness in their life. Impose any darkness on them, really.
Without putting too much pressure on the listeners, but if it doesn't get you going, then
turn off now.
Yeah, question yourself, really. You have a good look in the mirror.
All right.
Amazing.
Well, let's hear it then.
Against the rules,
Hang on. Can we start again? Let's do this professionally. And let's do it like we mean it.
Are we on?
We're on. This thing is on.
Cool. Well, I want to talk to Mark about basically how the band got together and all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, how did it all... Well, firstly, wind the clock right back. What got you into music? How old were you when you first sort of realised you were...
Dear Lord. Right, okay. Winding right back. I remember being heavily into Oasis. I remember back in year five, quite young. And...
That's kiddie music, you know, it's nice and simple.
Yeah,
yeah, but you've made me feel old now. We're year five, what's that? That's what, 10? Something like that? How old are you when you're in year five?
I couldn't even guess. It must be 10, yeah. I started getting into what the old dears was listening to. So Dire Straits, Eric Clapton, all that sort of stuff.
We've all been there, yeah.
Yeah, my brother played guitar in his younger years. Mm-hmm. And he basically gave me a guitar and a sort of thick... Russ Shipton guitar book. You ever hear of him? Russ Shipton?
No.
Acoustic-y folk stuff. Basically wrote a beginner's guitar book. I went through that, learning Amazing Grace and all that sort of stuff. You know, chords and whatnot.
Yeah, I can hear that in the music.
Yeah, started going to guitar club at school, and then a brother got me into sort of slightly harsher things like Backstreet Preachers when I was at school. And all that sort of stuff, and basically I just learned how to guitar tab books.
That's quite a jump from that Amazing Grace to sort of Motorcycle Emptiness or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But
guitar tab books, that's how I got started.
Yeah, it's the best way, really.
Yeah, that's worked for me. And for anybody who wants to learn guitar, find an album that you really like and go and buy the book on it and then learn how to play it.
Yeah.
Or Beatles Complete. Get the Beatles Complete book, there's loads of them about. Piece of cake, go through, find the songs you know, learn how to play them.
Even I can play the Beatles tunes, mate. A Beatles book and an Oasis book, does me.
Yeah.
You know, hence why I've been such a success
in
the musical world.
That's why you're reviewing bands.
Yeah, that's right.
No one's reviewing you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's it. That's one way to get my missus out of the house, anyway.
Yeah.
Pick up the guitar and start playing. So, yeah, so you. What happened, you know, what was your sort of first band, you know, and all that, you know, when did you kind of start playing and decided you wanted to get out there?
Must have been back at secondary school, also in my first band, and then we was doing sort of wanting to play the annual music evening and things like that. So I was jamming, I was just on guitar playing things like Reef and, you know, that sort of stuff, playing a bit of that. Yeah, and then a bit of Green Day here and there, just in a band setting, and then we played the school prom. So we ousted out our singer, and then I took over. I was pretty awful back then, but I was pulling out early news stuff and things like that back then.
Yeah, yeah.
And I could pull it off back then as well, you know, when my voice wasn't totally cream crackered like it is now. Yeah, we was basically doing that, and then I went to university and I came back, and no one was really up for forming a band. So I joined a band out in the paper. It was sort of the Jam meets the Clash meets the Arctic Monkeys sort of stuff. I was just on lead guitar for that. I was in that band for about a year and a half, 2 years, something like that. We played Portsmouth Guildhall, probably our biggest gig, did The Wedge, sold out Night in The Wedge. And then
what was the name of
The Rebel Ching, we were called. And then sort of like we all just sort of came to the end, and I'd been writing songs behind the scenes, and there was obviously a lot more different than that. So basically I saw the opportunity once they ended to start up this new band, and my best mate basically just said, look, my brother plays drums, why don't you have a jam somewhere and play your songs and that? And that's Phil. He's on drums for us, and we had a few jams and whatnot, and he brought along Louie, who he was mates with at school, and they were jamming in bands at school. He was a few years below me and whatnot. I seem to remember him when I was rehearsing up there in my band back then. They were there watching.
Yeah.
Remember thinking back, you know, it was a long time ago, though, you know, I've got grey hair since then. And
I've grown a new skin since then.
And basically we started jamming, I probably probably the whole of 2008 we just spent in the rehearsal room.
Yeah, yeah.
Just trying to make ourselves, you know, a bit better
Gideon's
than garage style band.
Gideon's Demise did that. They spent like 2.5 years rehearsing. They had all these songs and just, what are we going to do with these songs then?
I did that with my band. When I had a band, I said we're gonna rehearse for a year until it's right, and then we'll go out. And then by the time you go out, you're sorted.
Yeah.
You hit the place, because often your first few gigs are your biggest gigs.
Yeah.
Because all your mates are gonna come because they want to see what's going on. Yeah. So you want it to be complete. You want to be doing it saying, "Oh, we'll get better in time."
Mm.
I want it to explode. I want it to come out and go, "Bah!"
Yeah, I remember our first gig was quite a corker.
Where was that then?
Down the Joiners. We were first on, supporting another local band. Got about 70 odd people down for it. So we was chuffed the bits
our
first gig and that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it was our first gig and people weren't really expecting much, I don't think. And then we went on and that. We organised this great big bass sound and whatnot, and then the next gig was about a fortnight later down the railway, and then we had about another 60 people go to that, and old Jim on the door couldn't get people in quick enough.
Brilliant.
And people were still stood outside in the queue after we finished. That was on a Thursday night. Jeez. But it was quite good after that, and we played a big gig down Talking Heads for the Red Stripe Music Awards, and then after then we had to have a month out because I had a surgery done on my vocal cords and that, because I developed vocal nodules and it was buggering up my voice quite a bit.
So took
a month out then, and I've sort of had a vocal coach since then, trying to correct my voice, and it's still every now and then it goes back to how it was, you know.
Did you see the same vocal coach as the guy from Duel and the Forefathers, is that right?
Yeah, that's probably right, yeah.
So the first EP came out, when was that, last year?
Probably March 2009.
Yeah.
Would have thought like that, and that was literally all done on my own computer.
Yeah.
Resisting
Movement and the Almost Advisory.
That is correct, Paul. God, right there.
See, you know, don't you?
Yeah.
See?
A bit obsessed with this band.
Yeah, I know. You remember more tracks than either.
Yeah.
So what's that name
from
about?
From a tab book.
So what's that name about? Resisting Movement and the Almost Advisory.
To be honest, Paul, it was a bit self-indulgent, really. A bit pretentious at the same time. Yeah, we like that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah.
You know. I just want to make an impact, you know. So I don't. It's basically anything to make people think, really.
Yeah.
You know, Resisting Movement and the Almost Advisory. We're in an isolation, basically, sort of. You know, I mean, caged in, restricted.
Mm.
You know, like that sort of
feeling,
which is. Within isolation, all the lyrics are all a bit like that.
Yeah, a bit angsty.
Yeah, yeah, bleak times at university when I was writing that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. So everything sort of reflects that.
That's what I find with your stuff. This is what always fascinates me with your stuff, is that it's quite intense. That's part of why I love it so much, is the intensity of it, and it's real sort of gets you going and stuff. And that you come across as such a chilled out, sort of, you know, happy go lucky kind of chirpy fella.
I don't know where you get that from. Obviously.
You know, and there's these lyrics and this sound that, you know, comes across that, you know, whoa.
Do you find that difficult though? Because I find a similar thing, like, especially. No. Answer my question. Do you find that a bit weird though yourself? Like when you write these lyrics and you perform the tunes, and they are quite an intense tunes, and they do. And it's not like you made it up. Well, obviously you did make it up, but it's like it has come from your own experience.
Yeah,
and then you go, "Hello, everybody! Isn't it lovely here?" And now a song about slitting your wrists. Here we go then. And it's like sinking back in again. Do you feel that's that? Do you find it's a bit weird?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think like that. It's like, it's always embarrassing when you've written them and you've got to sing them for the first time in front of a band. I hate it.
Really?
And it's at that stage when I really know if it cuts the mustard, because I've written song after song, and some of the shit I've, like, so can I swear on a podcast?
Fuck no.
Oh, no, come on, Nick. Right, yeah, well, yeah, it's sort of like some of the stuff I presented to them before is just like, it's bloody, oh God, it's like the Chuckle Brothers wrote it, you know what I mean? It's really like that. It's like really like so basic chord sequence.
To me, you know.
And it's like, oh, you want to do something commercial, but at the same time, you know it's tripe.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like,
yeah.
I know to throw them in the bin now, and it's like, you know, every time you just go into rehearsal with your new song and whatnot, the lyrics are a bit, you know what I mean, they're a bit, you don't want people to know, you don't want people to know about it, so I always say, oh, I would like to divulge into what it's about, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Paul, but when you've interviewed me in the past, and you say, what's it about? I'll say, oh, it's not about anything, you know, it is.
Paul Weller sort of said that before in an interview. He sort of said, you know, he doesn't want to divulge what the song's about because people can add to it what they want.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and songs take on their own meaning for different people as well, don't they?
Yeah.
And you know, if we know what you've written about or who you've written about, or whatever, then it's kind of a bit.
Well, yeah, I've got a song called "Don't Make Me Wait," and people have said, "Oh, I love that song! I love that song because it's a really nice song. It's a really sweet song, and reminds me of, you know, when I first met my husband, or blah blah blah." And I've said, "Do you know? Have you listened to the lyrics on that song?
Really?
Do you know what that song's about?" And I haven't told them, but you know, that song's about someone that I had a stalker. And they came around my flat and they took loads of drugs and they wouldn't leave. And they were there for 3 days and I could literally, physically had to lift them out of from sitting down. They got psychotic, basically.
Sorry about that, Nick. I was going for a run.
No, but they were psychotic and I actually had to, because they'd taken so much drugs, and I actually literally had to lift her up by her arm and say, there is the door. And that's what the song's about. And so when someone comes up to me and says, oh, I love that song, it's such a sweet song, I go, well, maybe you should listen to the lyrics a little bit, because it might not be about what you think.
Yeah, it's funny though, isn't it? Because we got a song called Cold Hits, and it's like the one that gets it's sort of like a cult underground sort of song. That is, we don't play it live very often, but it's probably got one of our best riffs on it, I reckon.
Mm.
But the whole thing is me. It's basically me just having a go about an ex-relationship, really. Proper laying in as well.
Oh yeah, because you can dress it up, can't you?
Yeah.
And no one will know that about that night when she did this and you did that.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all there.
Bitch.
Yeah. So
they do serve their purposes, though, don't they?
Well, they do.
You know,
the thing. The thing is, though, sometimes you can get over it. Like, you're over it, but then someone will go, play that song, and you think, oh, I don't know if I want to go back there. But when you sing it, it's always there. When you get to that line, you think, oh, yeah, that was about that, fucking bitch. Even if you're in a happy mood, you want to sing a song, and you get to that bit and go, yeah. Shall we hear another song?
Yes.
What are we going to hear, Paul?
What matters?
Shower Your Loss, I reckon. It's about 3.5 minute musical. Oh God! There you go.
It's 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Minutes.
Yeah.
Hours.
Really?
My God, it's very proggy.
Christ, Jesus.
And what's it called again?
Shelter Your Loss.
To talk to the audience down the microphone.
Really. Yeah, so where can people find out about you? Where's your music? Find out about what you're up to, etc.
You've got an official website at www.brokenlinksmusic.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
Basically everything's on there, really. All the links to our Facebook, MySpace, all that.
Yeah. And hopefully Bandcamp soon. Now I've told you about Bandcamp.
Yeah, Bandcamp. That sounds like a good little site to sign up on. Yeah.
And what's next for the band?
Well, basically, more recording, more writing. Hopefully, get some interest from management or label this year to get
next year.
Oh yeah, next year, 2011. Yeah, to get an album out there and do a full-scale European tour. Hopefully, well, I say full-scale. I mean, 2 weeks.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
Yeah, a bit more gigging. You know, what else can you do, really?
Mm. Cool.
Lovely. Well. Thanks very much.
Yeah, cheers, Mark.
How are you?
And same time. Oh, we're gone. Next week.
It's the Christmas special.
Christmas special. And who knows what we'll be doing then?
God only knows. The mic might have even got a bit bigger.
Excited, yeah. Or might have doubled. Or might have got another one. Mm-hmm. Anyway, thanks very much.
Cheers, Mark.
Cheers.
Is this thing on?
What were we going to say?
Hi, we're Sand River, and then I'll do
Okay. Okay, whenever you're ready.
Hi, this is Sand River, and you're listening to Nick Tanz's Is This Thing On podcast.
Marvellous.
And it was marvellous, and that was really lovely talking to Mark Lawrence, a fantastic fella, really nice guy, great sense of humour, and we had a real giggle on Thursday, so much so that after we'd finished doing that piece, which was about, it was about half an hour, wasn't it? We carried on talking, and I recorded that as well, and that's about another half an hour of No, not another half an hour. That's about half an hour's worth of us chatting again, with me laughing and sometimes taking over the conversation, which I tend to do sometimes. Not very good, really, but, you know, what can you do? So what I've decided to do is when the new podcast website comes out, and it will be, well, I'm building it this week. When it's all ready to go, there'll be a special vault somewhere. I'm not too sure, but I'll build it in somewhere where there'll be extra special features where I want to put some of the things that aren't in the podcast that you can download and listen to if you want to. So that might be the only one there, but I doubt it. Because what happens is, if we get these people in, or I'm chatting on Skype, and we get on really well and the conversation's flowing, and I have to go, oh, sorry, I've got to go now, because, you know, I'd like to keep the interviews to about 15 minutes. Otherwise, I think they might be a bit boring. Or actually, not boring, but I just think, well, I want to do play lots of music. So what I'll do is I can do some more interviews and I'll put them in that vault. Anyway, earlier on today, I had a talk with Jenny Walker from America. We've played some of her stuff before, and we talked about that as well a little bit. But she's got a special project that she's working on at the moment, and an interesting kind of way of looking at things, which I'll sort of talk a little bit about later on. So what I'll do is I'm going to play her the interview that I recorded back a few hours ago, and then I'll play the track that she's submitted, and then we'll talk a little bit about that, and then it'll finish. Anyway, this is what happened earlier on today. Hi, Jenny Walker. How the hell are you?
I'm terrific, Nick. How are you?
I'm brilliant. Now, we are on Skype at the moment, having a fantastic Skype interview. We've been having a little bit of a text conversation on Skype. Or was it messaging or texting? I don't know, one of those things. And you've been urging me to look at this link. Now, I've got this tantalizingly sitting down on the bottom of my screen, and I haven't seen it yet. You at the moment, normally people can on Skype can see your people's faces on webcams, which is I normally do, but as I haven't got my makeup on, what I've decided to do is to share my screen with you, which some people don't realize you can do on Skype. You can share your screen, so that's what we're doing. And anyway, before I open up this little link I'm showing you now, could you please, for people that haven't heard of you, there must be a few, I think, can you tell us who you are, what you do, and where you are?
Sure. My name is Jenny Walker. I'm a recording artist, and I'm currently based in New York City.
Fantastic. And you do this for a living? You do this full time?
Well, no, not yet.
So in your spare time, you're a bank robber.
You know what? I live a double life. I live a double life as a charity fundraiser, of all things. So okay. I'm a fundraising consultant by day, and a pop singer by night, and every other moment of my life.
Yeah, yeah. That's fine. That's brilliant. Well, we've all got a lot of us got day jobs. Some of us have got day jobs, and some of us haven't. But it just goes to show that we can't, unfortunately, at the moment, although, I mean, you might have the two jobs you might do might make you a millionaire. Who knows? But that's not really important. And you're in New York City, and we've played some of your songs before. Oh, I can remember without even, because what I try and do is when I interview people, I don't get any background knowledge of them, because I'm assuming that people listening to the podcast for the first, people listening to this podcast now have never heard it before. So I'm not going to assume that they've got any prior knowledge. So why should I? But I know from memory, I've played two of your songs, one called Simon and one called Passage. Is it Passage to London?
No, Night Flight to London.
Night Flight to London. That's it. And Night Flight to London's has been quite successful for you, isn't it?
It is. And as a matter of fact, my album is now going to be named Night Flight to London as a result of how well we're doing with that song.
And so what sort of success have you had with the song?
Well, one of the things that...
Oh, there it is in the background, really, really loud.
There you go. That's what we're going to talk about.
We're
right
going to talk
there.
About that, you
That's
see.
The success. British Airways.
That's it.
Face of Opportunity Contest. I pitched myself as an artist and as the owner of the Jenny Walker Music Publishing Company in this small business competition. And out of thousands of entries, I'm in the top 10.
Fantastic.
And the only music-related pitch in the top 10. And you could count on one hand the number of entries that were music oriented in this competition. So it's just incredible, and it's such an honor and a privilege to be singled out this way. And as a result of this competition, I've already been singled out in the top 250 entries. So in that, I won 3 days of events in New York and London, a round trip ticket to London from New York, and a round trip ticket from London to anywhere in the world British Airways flies. So that was just to be the top 250. Well, now I've been singled out as the top 10. So now what's happening this week is there's 10 finalists. I'm one of the 10. And they've put it out there, and I have 6 days remaining to get votes for my entry. And the top three entries with the most votes get an opportunity to give a live business pitch to their celebrity judges. And it's a really big deal. They have this man named Bill Rancic, who won The Apprentice, that Donald Trump show the first year. He's one of the judges, and this author and businesswoman, Bethany Frankel, and then this wonderful real estate woman who built a company that she sold for $70 million, Barbara Corcoran. So those are three of the judges. And if I get enough votes, I get to give my music business pitch live. And if I win, I get a business opportunity grant from British Airways, which is 10 round trip tickets anywhere in the world they fly. And if I win that, we're going to build my music tour around it. It's
what a
big,
big,
it's a big deal. And I think what this is that you have on the screen that people will be able to see is my actual entry and pitch. So it's 3 minutes long, and you can see exactly how I positioned myself as an artist and, you know, signed to an independent label who, you know, owns their own publishing, and, you know, I own my own sound recording. My actual relationship with this particular first album is a distribution relationship. So I, you know, do own my sound recording, which is an important distinction.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's quite a big deal, isn't it? I thought you were going to say you've got all these round tickets for getting in the top 250, and if you win, they give you a plane.
Well,
that would seem fair, wouldn't it?
Maybe they'll do that in 2011. That would be a great prize.
Yeah. So you're the only music pitch. How come that we didn't hear about this?
You know what? First of all, it's good for your listeners to know that British Airways has a face-to-face program that's global that you can sign
up
for.
Whoa. Hang on a second. I don't understand what that means. It has a face-to-face program that's global.
Let me explain. This is
explain.
Really
explain. Explain, Jenny.
So British Airways what is basically their national campaign right now, or even international campaign, is it's the concept of face-to-face meetings will help businesses grow faster. Because, you know, you can Skype like you and I are doing, you can call, you can email, you can text, but nothing replaces a face-to-face meeting and helps you, you know, further, you know, your agenda, if you will. So that's their national campaign. So they've created this program for people to join, and they give these grants in England as well, in the UK, is you can pitch your business, you know, your business pitch, whatever it might be, and with the idea of how you could benefit from being able to win these 10 trips anywhere in the world to meet with potential partners or suppliers or manufacturers and things like that. So
well, one thing that intrigues, sorry to interrupt you, Jenny, but this thing that this intrigues me, because myself and Matt Stevens, and there's a few other of us sort of musician types, we didn't hear about this. And looking at the website, it's faceofopportunity.com, and you keep saying it's like a national thing, but it's not.
It's an international thing.
That's the thing that gets me. And we haven't heard of it. And it's British Airways, damn it. Hang on a second. What's going on?
I have thoughts about that. The promotion you're seeing right now is specifically the one for the U.S. Okay, this particular one that involves me. Obviously, I'm a U.S. citizen. It's only been on for 2 years. This is the second year. And it looked as if to me they were advertising in general business publications, general business news. They weren't taking industries in specific and trying to get people within, say, arts. You see what I mean? So if you're not if you're not a member of, you know, if you're not watching the general business kind of outlets and media, you may have missed it. As a matter of fact, the only reason I knew about it if someone told me who knew about.
Okay, I've lost you there. Hang on a second. Okay. I've lost you. Oh, you got back again. The only way that you heard about it was a person.
Someone else told me about it who is very familiar with general business in the United States. It was not marketed to musicians at all. It wasn't marketed to any subgroups. It was general business. And so, you know, if you were already flying on British Airways and were a member of any of their, you know, frequent flyer clubs or, you know, whatever the travel
club. Yeah, I understand. So basically what you're saying is it was open to business and you thought, hang on a second, I'm in business and I'm in music. Maybe we can combine the two there. So it wasn't pitched at a musician. So that's why we haven't heard of it, because I don't care about business unless it's linked directly to music. And what's good is that you thought, well, I can do it. I'll pitch a music thing, and no one else pitched a music thing. And you had a song called Night Flight to London. I mean,
I know, it was perfect.
Look at
that. Well, you know, the biggest point, Nick, is that for artists who are doing it themselves. We hear DIY, indie artist, emerging artist. We hear these terms until we're blue in the face. But what we don't hear is anyone thinking about this group of people as small businesses. And that is what we are, period.
We are.
You know, that's what we are. And I think when I saw this opportunity, my head about exploded. I was like, this is perfect. This is the right thing for me to do, because I said to myself, nobody's going to do this. Nobody has a song and an album named Night Flight to London. We had already been racking our brains about what airlines we had an entree to pitch this concept, because it's a natural fit, the song, the album, the concept with an airline. But even though it's a natural fit, it doesn't mean we have a hotline to these companies or anything. By participating in this, it was an opportunity for me to get that meeting, so to speak. It's turned out really well. And I definitely followed my intuition on this. And I also spent 4 weeks off and on writing this pitch. I mean, the other part too is it isn't just about my music or my album, is that I did research on the company. I researched everything that they were doing. I worked with all kinds of drafts. I would send drafts to people I know. What do you think? I would tweak it. I worked on it over and over and over again. I had to time it just right, get the music to fit. Like, I worked so hard on it to get it just right. And just when I thought I was done, someone I gave the pitch to said, well, you're going to have to redo it again, because you need to tell me a story. And good business pitches tell a story.
Absolutely right. There always has to be a story. Otherwise, no one's interested.
Right. And so I rewrote it again, and I told the story of how that song, Night Flight to London, was written, et cetera, et cetera. So I won't tell that story, because I know you're going to play the video. But,
actually, I can't play the video, because it's an audio-only podcast. What I'm going to do...
Audio.
What I will do is I want people to go and look at the video. It'll be on the website. It'll be on is this thing on podcast.wordpress.com at the moment. Sorry, the reason I'm pausing is because I'm working on the new website, which is slightly different, but we'll get into that later on in the podcast. So what we want people to do is to go to my website, which is this thing on podcast.wordpress.com, and there'll be a link there. I won't embed the video, because I want people to actually go to the link. And I'm going to do that now. So that's Vote for Rent. I've just clicked it, and nothing's happened yet. Oh, it says thanks for voting. That's it. Simple as that. You haven't got to do anything. You don't lose any blood. You haven't got to give an email address. It doesn't cost you anything. It's fantastic. Right. Well, okay, Jenny, look, that's been brilliant. We'll leave it there, and hopefully later in the new year you can give us another shout and let us know how you got on.
That's great, Nick. I will get back to you and let you know what happened.
Fantastic.
Know if I won.
Brilliant. Okay. And have you got any new stuff coming out?
I do. The newest thing in the world is my album's going to be out in February 2011 in conjunction with my flight over to London with this competition.
Very good. And what sort of gigs are you looking at doing in London?
Well, probably my CD release party, but the main thing will be to meet with potential publishing companies, management firms, booking agencies, and of course British Airways. So it's going to be a business trip for sure.
Excellent, excellent. Well, hopefully you'll give us a couple of tracks before you come, before the track, the album's out, and we can whet people's appetite with that.
Absolutely, you know I will.
All right, lovely. Thanks a lot, Jenny. Bye.
Thanks, Nick.
On the night flight to London, 1,000 miles closer to you. On the night flight to London, I left behind the life I knew. Flight to London.
Want to go to university.
Lovely. And that was Night Flight to London, which was a song that she's put in for the competition, which it looks like she's going to win because she's the only music person in there, and they're bound to want that. Night Flight to London, It's got winner written all over it. Look, you can go to my website, which is this thing on podcast.wordpress.com, or you can go to Jenny's website, which is jennywalker.com, and you spell Jenny, JennieWalker.com. There'll be links on her website, I'm sure there is. But there'll be links on my website as well. So, dedications in for next week. Make sure you get them in and I can read them out. Should have Swineshead and Napoleon coming and doing some funny stuff. I'll have Paul doing some stuff. I haven't heard from APOC. He said he would be doing something for me. But I haven't heard anything from him since I mentioned that to him. So, we'll see. So, that's it this week. I'm building websites and all that sort of stuff. You don't care about that, do you? Do you care about that? If you care about what I'm doing, if you want to have a little look and watch it all develop, go to nicktanmusic.com. Yeah, nicktanmusic.com. Have a click around. There's some stuff to look at now. I've been working on today. I know we carry on. It's like 10 past 12, 11 now. I'll probably do another hour or so, then go to bed. But have a little look around. Until next week, keep warm. Bye. Email me at isthisthingonpodcast@gmail.com. That's isthisthingonpodcast@gmail.com. With your MP3 submissions, Russian watch offers, foreign bank scams, and of course, Viagra.
Right, Nick Tan's podcast thing, jingle thing. 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 Right, Nick Tan's podcast thing, jingle thing.